more from there, going verse by verse, but let's be reminded of where we started last week, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than the beast, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yea, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent, verse 4, said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. And you shall be a God knowing good and evil. Chapter 3, the book of Genesis, according to Martin Luther, here's what he said about chapter 3. Chapter 3 contains the darkest pages of human history. He goes on to talk about chapter 3 is the earthquake of the Bible that forever changed the history of humanity. So when you come to church and we begin to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, expository teaching, preaching here on Sunday mornings at Spradlin, and you come to chapter 3, we've all read it, we've all heard it, we've all seen it. I want you to know that this chapter, these pages, these verses totally changed what God's intention was for his creation of man and woman. And so he didn't create us to be like we are now. Go see Sound of Freedom and see how we are now. The depravity. That's not how God created us. God did create us to have a choice. And in that choice, Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. And that has trickled and trickled and trickled all these 6,000 years. And it's where we're at tonight. The earthquake of the Bible. What happens in chapter 3. Last week, we talked about Eve, where she listened to the serpent. She looked at what she shouldn't have even been looking at. She lusted after looking at that fruit from that one tree, and she lost. That's where we ended last week. It's been said that man is the only creature that sets his own trap, baits it, then steps in it. Because of chapter 3, because of what Eve and Adam did, all humans, beginning with Adam and Eve's offspring, will be born with a sin nature. Adam and Eve wasn't born with a sin nature. They were created by God, with God's nature. From here on out, after Adam and Eve, all their children, God created man, Adam and Eve, in his image, after his likeness. Now that sin has crept in, now going forward, all children born will be born in Adam's image. Think about it. Because of sin, with the sin nature. Sin caused a cascading chain of tragedy for generations upon generations. Upon our generation. That's where it started here. It's the earthquake of the Bible. Now I want you to think about what we just read, and then we'll get into today's message. The serpent is talking to Eve. The serpent is making all kinds of promises. Your eyes will be open if you eat from that one tree. You and Adam will be like gods. If you eat from that one tree, you and Adam will obtain knowledge from good and evil. All these promises that the serpent is spewing out. Eve has heard it from the serpent before, and here's all these hopes and aspirations and all these dreams that Satan, in the form of a serpent, planted in her heart. What a letdown. All those unfulfilled expectations and promises from the newborn. Here's what happened when they did it. He promised all these good things. Let's begin this week and next week talking about what really happened to Eve. Look with me in verse 7. And the eyes of them were both open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So if you got a bulletin, we're doing a little outline there. We're talking about feeling shame. Their eyes were open. And now they saw themselves Adam and Eve, only two adults living, only two humans alive on all planet Earth. And all of a sudden, their eyes were open to the degree that they now know they're naked. I personally believe before that, they were naked. But they really wasn't naked before their eyes were open. I believe they were always clothed with something like God's Shekinah glory. There was some kind of covering that God had given them to. We can't prove that, but we just know God's nature and God's character. But the moment they sinned, the moment they made a choice, the moment they made that decision, the moment they decided to listen to Satan and not the Lord, Eve lost, Adam lost, and at that time, the lights of glory, Shekinah glory or glory, went out. And when it went out, all of a sudden their eyes were open and they saw each other like they'd never seen each other before. They saw themselves and each other naked. They knew for the first time, we don't know how long that this had taken place. Scripture don't tell us. But they knew for the first time they were naked, that they were without covering. They didn't know what clothing was. They knew they were without covering. Now, when it says they were naked, here's what it means spiritually. It means that Adam and Eve became exposed. They became vulnerable, feeling shame. Fear came upon them. Sorrow came into their lives. Heartache invaded their bodies. This one act, just one act of disobedience changed everything forever. Verse 7 says that when their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked, they did what only they kind of knew that they could do. The verse 7 says that they sewed fig leaves together to cover up. That first sin led to cover up. Isn't that amazing? They wanted to cover their guilt. They wanted to cover their shame. They wanted to cover their embarrassment. Hey, church, let me just ask you, as we kind of focus on fast forward to 2023, what's happened to modesty? 1 Timothy 2 says this, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, here it goes, without shamefacedness. Timothy writes that over the New Testament. Shamefacedness means to be bashful, to blush in the company of the opposite sex. Shamefacedness. Man, is our society, man, have we ever came to the point where we're bent on removing the lines of distinction? We're bent in moving the lines of distinction and policy and position and appearance. Man was created to be a reflection of God. We're made in His image. We're made after His likeness. And just the blink of an eye, it seems, here in Scripture. Now they know they're naked. Sin produced guilt. Guilt produced shame. Shame requires a covering. And verse 7 tells us that they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves up from God. The Texas State Penitentiary has a dress code for female visitors. No shorts. No sandals. No sleeveless shirts. No tight clothing. Modest apparel only. The warden says, these men have been locked up a long time. Here's our policy. It might do us good to have a policy. Oh, we have a policy. Modest apparel. Be a reflection of Christ. Be Christ-like. Can I tell us what we already know? God put those principles in there. It's a foundational principle that God's placed in the book of Genesis to let us know that, hey, it wasn't necessarily for their time, it was for our time. Adam and Eve was married. Adam and Eve was consenting adults. Adam and Eve was the only people around. But God was setting up a foundational principle in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, so that we could follow it here. And the New Testament talks about it. Hey, He was doing it because God knew what they didn't know then. God knows what you and I know. And God knows that men are visual beings. Men are visually attracted, visually distracted, visually stimulated. God knew it. And so Adam and Eve take some fig leaves and they make aprons to cover their nakedness, to cover up. To set that foundational principle in motion. We'll get to it eventually, but over in chapter 3, verse 21, the Lord God made coats of skins. But notice what it says. It says to clothe them. They're already covered. They thought they covered enough. Adam and Eve did what they thought was enough, and God killed some animals. There's another reason for the sacrifice of animals. We'll get to it. But God, it says that God made coats of skins and clothed them. Foundational principle forward. Cover up! Be modest! The fig leaves didn't cover up. And there were only two adults that were married. That was consensual. Hey, can I just say this? The reason it's so important is in immodesty leads to immorality. We've seen it. They feel shame. Second point is they're playing the game. First they feel shame, now they're playing the game. Look at verse 8, Genesis chapter 3. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. In the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. Adam and Eve felt shame. They did what they only knew to do to cover up with fig leaves and aprons. And now they're playing the game. We have the first game, you ready? The first game of hide and seek ever. Oh, by the way, you only get deep truths like that here, okay? That's, I'm just saying. I think I like it better than you did, buddy. They're hiding from God. Who hides from God? Who hides from the presence of God? Right here. Remember the darkest pages in Scripture. Remember the earthquake that changed everything. And after all, who ever heard of hiding from God? And they heard God walking in the garden. Evidently, we just have to read between the lines here, but evidently, God came to fellowship frequently, maybe daily. He came to fellowship. He came to meet up. He came to walk with his creators, his creation, Adam and Eve, man and woman, every day. Frequent fellowship, frequent walks, fellowshipping together, hand in hand. And his creation, here's the Creator. They knew the sound. They'd heard it before. It's kind of a frequent thing, a normal thing, an everyday thing. And they hear him coming and the Creator coming, and they hear his voice, and they hear him, his walk, his steps in the garden. Uh-oh. And up until this day, before they chose to disobey, when they heard him coming, man would run to meet him. When they heard him coming, the Lord God, the Creator of the world, when they heard him coming, they would run to see him and feel him and experience him. And it was man-God relationship. That's what God created man for, to have fellowship with. How refreshing is that scene? How uplifting is that scene? How encouraging is that scene? Sweet fellowship between the God of heaven, the Creator God, and his creation, man on earth. Man, nothing to hide. Nothing between them. Nothing separating them. But now the highlight is over. Now, these two sinners, Adam and Eve, now they cover up. Now they hide from God. Now they run from God. That's what sin does. We say it all the time. That's what it does. You're not bigger than sin. I'm not bigger than sin. I can't handle it. You can't handle it. Adam and Eve couldn't handle it. Now they're hiding. Hey, first, it's the shame. They feel ashamed. And now they're playing the game. Or they're hiding. It separates us from the one who loves us. It separates us from the one who comes for us. It's separating the one, hey church, it's separating the one from the one that knows you and I the most and the best and loves us still the most. He knows us the best. He still loves us. He knew Adam and Eve inside and out. He created them, and he still loves them. He's coming to them. He's trying to find them. And Adam and Eve is playing a game in their shame. Let's hide so nobody can find us. I'll cover up so no one will see my nakedness. I'll keep what we did to ourselves. And lo and behold, God's coming looking for Adam and Eve. And God's creations, his creatures of creation, Adam and Eve, man and woman, hey, they become fugitives to the Creator. Back in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, the Bible says Jesus returns for the last time. The Bible describes that when he comes for the last time, that people begin to run and hide in caves. They hide, and then they get in caves, and they begin to pray and to cry that the rocks and the mountains will fall upon them to cover them from the presence of the all-seeing, all-seeing eyes of Judge Jesus. He's coming. They're hiding. They're feeling shame, number one. Number two, they're playing the game. Number three, they're shifting blame. Look at verse 9. Now they're shifting blame in verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Can you imagine the God of creation with a heart that has been broken by man's sin, his creation's sin? He comes looking. He comes searching. He comes seeking. Adam and Eve. comes looking for the fallen. He comes looking for the fail. He looks for the fatigued. He looks for the frightened. That's the God that we serve. And this is the pattern he said. Man, does God love Adam and Eve after they sinned? And I got good news for us here spread the story. God loves you and I after we sinned. And God, we should take the initiative. No, no, no. God takes the initiative. God makes the approach. God comes to seek and to save that which was lost. Adam, where art thou? Now God knew where Adam was. God was giving Adam a chance to come clean. To confess. To be contrite. He wants him back. He wants that fellowship back. He wants that walk together in the cool of the day back. God wants it. Adam should want it. Eve should want it. We should want it. But God is the one. Come clean. Can I tell you something that you and I both know? People don't like confrontation. We don't like it. They didn't like it. We don't like to be confronted or called to the office or called out on something. We'd much rather talk to somebody about their problems than somebody talk to us about our problems. The book of Exodus, Moses is on Mount Sinai doing ministry with God. He's up there giving the Ten Commandments of all things. And God stops that and says, Moses, you need to go back down to earth. There's a problem down there. Your people are in trouble. They probably need you right now. So he has to leave Mount Sinai with God, get the Ten Commandments, and come back to earth to see what's going on with the children of Israel. When he comes back down to earth, he sees things he had never seen before. He hears things that he had never heard before. He witnesses things he's never seen before. False golden idol calf. People worshiping that false god, golden calf. People dancing around that false golden idol calf. Folks dancing, there's nudity, there's dancing, there's crazy music. Man, Moses is up there with God. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Bible says when Moses came down from there, they can't even look at him. He was so infilled with God, his face shone, it shined, it was glaring, it was brilliant. He had to put a veil over his face, Moses did. He had to put a veil over his face, he was spending too much time with God up there. And he came down, the Bible says his face shone brightly. He comes down like, I'm going to go handle this. What's going on? And that's what he runs into. Nudity and dancing and music and golden calves and worshiping the golden. And the Bible says Moses' anger waxed hot. He was boiling mad. Moses looks at Aaron and said, hey, Aaron, what's going on? How in the world did this happen? And Aaron begins what we know as blame shifting. Aaron says, Moses, you know your people. They're not Aaron's people, even though he's got in charge of Moses. You know your people, Moses. They're set on mischief. In the book of Exodus. They demanded me, as the leader in your absence, they demanded me to make us a god like they had back in Egypt. And they begin taking off their earrings and throw them in this pot. They begin to melt the gold from the earrings. And lo and behold, out just jumps this calf, he said. Denial of guilt, distraction of the truth, refusal of taking any responsibility. Sound familiar? Adam and Eve felt shame. They played the game. They shifted the blame. Creator God asked Adam, verse 11, Have you eaten the tree I commanded you not to? He goes, yeah, it's that woman. It's the reason is that woman you gave me. It's all her fault, Adam's telling God. She got me into this mess. Pointing fingers, shifting the blame. Adam's really caught red-handed. Adam said, God, what was I supposed to do? She's my wife. Am I supposed to say no? And watch her power over it? Be silent? Don't tell Cheryl that one. Blame shifted, pointing fingers, not taking any responsibility, not coming clean, not confessing. What Adam did. He don't stop there. He plays the second shift blaming card. He says, that's that woman. And then he goes, that God, you gave her to me. Now he's blaming God. Blames the woman, now he blames God. Why not? Proverbs 19 says, the foolishness of a man perverteth and twisteth his way. God says to Eve now, what hast thou done? Blame shifting number three, it was the serpent that deceived me and I did eat. The blame game just goes and goes. Fast forward to 2023, the day we live in. We call it not the blame game, not pointing fingers, but we call it like passing the buck. Adam says, who, me, God? Not me. It's Eve you gave it to me. Some guy says, I'll tell you this. I could live right if it wasn't for that sorry wife. Now, they always say that in the presence of their buddies. Okay? Wife's nowhere around. It's that wife I married. I could live right, but it's her. And some gal will say the same thing. I could live for Jesus if it wasn't for that good-for-nothing husband of mine. Boy, do we ever act. Boy, do we ever act a lot like our mother and father, Adam and Eve. Shift the blame. Blame someone else. To err is human. To blame it on the other guy is even more human. Started there, it's still there. So let me close with those 3 points. Feeling shame. Adam and Eve felt shame. They had a right to feel shame. David said in Psalm 51. He says, cast me not away from thy presence. He felt dirty. David fell out of fellowship. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He felt shame. Can I ask you today, is there any shame? Is everything good between you and the Lord? I mean, is there everything okay? Are y'all in communications terms? Everything good? No shame in your life. Nothing between you and the Lord. I've got 2 children that I adore. There have been times in my life where it wasn't quite sweet fellowship. That's hard. That's tough. There was something between us. Is there anything like that between you and your God today? Anything. Number 2, what about playing the game? Adam and Eve played the game. They hid. They covered. What Adam and Eve did. What I've noticed as a pastor is a lot of people do their own thing. They fix everything they can fix until they can't fix it. Well, the minute they can't fix it, they start to play the game. They start to play the game when I can't fix it. I can't fix that. I can't fix the problem. Then I'm going to play dial a God game. I'm going to hit 911 God. I'm going to use him as my emergency to get me out of this situation. I've done all I can do. I'm going to my app and I'm going to get on God on demand and I'm going to get him on there so that he can take over where I've left off, where I've done all I can. I've used my resources. I've done everything I can. Hey, we play the game. Third thing, we shift the blame. What about you today? Your peers? Co-workers? Your schoolmates? Your neighbors? Your family, your friends? Shift the blame to somebody else. It's not my fault. See, we're not far from that, are we? In fact, we're pretty close to one. The first sin led to first cover-up. The first disobedience led to the first denial. And the first trespass led to passing the buck. As your mouth eyes are closed, let me ask you, where you're at, your own little world, everything good between you and God? Everything wasn't good between God and me. Everything good between you and God? You can get that settled right where you are. I don't need to hear it. This church don't need to hear it. You can handle that right where you are by just confessing whatever God put on your heart. If he's put anything on your heart, it would do you good, do me good, do our church good if we would just come clean with him. So there's nothing between us and the Savior, nothing between us and the Lord, nothing between us and Jesus. No shame. Maybe you're here today to try to play the game. We sure learned how to do it. But no more of that. Let's let him be our first choice when we get in the jam. Let's let him be our first call when we get our back up against Dad, when we hear some bad news, let's let him be our first responder. We're playing the game. We're trying to figure it out ourselves, do our own thing. And as far as the blame, let's just say, hey, look, it's me, Lord, it's just me. Because God will just clean up real quick. There don't have to be no parade. There don't have to be like no big ordeal. God will just take you at your word and just say, it's me, Lord, only me. And let's have that relationship that you so desire. Help me to have the same desire. Heavenly Father, we pray that Holy Spirit of God would just speak to hearts, deal with lives. So serious. Lord, help us to springboard off of Adam and Eve and what took place after the devil lied and deceived them. We've been deceived. Lord, help us to come clean. Help there to be sweet fellowship between us and you. Help us, Lord, to serve you because we're honored and privileged to adore you, lift you up. Father, help us to confess our sins and our blame and not blame others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Go lead us. We can help you come. Jesus, we know him today. We don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, without Him alone, I would be.
One more verse for the room, anybody?
Without Him, I would be dying. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, I'd be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God I'm free. Jesus.
Sing it now.
Oh, Jesus. Do you know me today? We don't turn you away. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for your